What's up, Mzanzi? Welcome to Farmers Inside Track, episode 378. I'm your host, Octavius Pandeo. Are you ready to take the next step in your farming business, selling to your local retail stores directly? Well, farmers should be prepared to meet strict quality, consistency, and delivery standards. Local retail stores also look for proper storage facilities and good production practices. Joining us is Trevor Abrams, Mayor of Witzenberg Local Municipality and a deciduous fruit farmer, with the basic requirements and guidelines for selling yourself to your local retailers. Mr. Trevor Abrams, welcome to Farmers Inside Track. It's absolutely a pleasure to have you with us. Today, we will be talking about local store supplies and how producers can actually get into that specific supply chain.
Thank you very much, Octavia.
For any producer who is interested to sell to their local retail stores, what are some of those minimum quality standards required by local stores?
I operate within the deciduous fruit access to the local stores, but I think for many of the requirements is applicable for other products also. Yes, there are standards that you need to comply with. And I think from a legislative perspective, the Department of Agriculture is gazetting the standards that all farmers comply with. But from a local store perspective, I can say that, for instance, they do have minimum standards as far as quality is concerned for the products that you deliver to them. Let me make a few examples. Woolworths, on their, say for instance, their stone fruit, which we deliver, they've got minimum standards on the sugar level, which we call the bricks, the color of the fruit, the pressures, and then they do have a technologist in the field that they help with the quality that we produce to Woolworths, for instance. Freshmark, the same, got minimum standards, but all of them, you know, are under the Department of Agriculture standards, which is more in the legislative sphere, where they classified fruit in class 1, 2, and others. The same apply, for instance, for Food Lovers. Markets, they do have minimum standards when they source from farmers directly. So the answer is yes, there are minimum standards that a producer must comply with for the local stores.
You've mentioned Woolworths, what specifically their standards are. Where can a farmer actually find what are those standards that they need to actually adhere to for this kind of supply?
Woolworths normally accredit a packhouse that will pack on their behalf based on their standards. So a producer that wants to deliver into Woolworths normally make use of a packhouse that has been accredited by Woolworths to do the packing, because in most of the cases, they don't take a lot of loose fruit in. And if they do take loose fruit in, it must still go through a packhouse so that they can apply the minimum standards in terms of sugar levels, color, pressure, and so forth, their particular products. So the packhouses are a very good source of information, what the standards are for the different markets, say, for instance, Woolworths, Freshmark, Food Lovers, whatever they are picking for.
Do local stores prioritize local sourcing, or do they have specific certifications regarding the way they supply or the way they expect the produce to come in?
Many of the products, especially the fresh products, are seasonally bound. What my understanding and what I've experienced with our local markets is that they support South African products heavily in season. And then there's an out season where we don't have those products, that they will import products from global markets. So the prioritization from the local stores is normally local first, then Africa, and then the rest of the world, especially in season. For products like organic products, there are specific, very much stricter requirements or specifications, especially around the use of herbicides, pesticides, and fertilizer. That is really very close to a dish market, because the restrictions on herbicides, pesticides, and fertilizers is very strong when it comes to organic products that they source from local producers.
What kind of licenses or permits are required to sell food products to retailers?
There are certain legal requirements for a business to supply into the local markets. For instance, your registration with SARS, your VAT registrations, then also UIF if you make use of labor. And then there is product-specific licenses that you need to have, accreditations that you need to have, like the ethical standards or permits that you must have, meaning that in terms of your workforce, you have to comply with all the legislation. And then there is also standards like the South African Good Agricultural Practices, which is a set of rules that you get a certificate for if you comply. And then if you make use of a packhouse, there is the British Retail Certification that is applicable on packhouses, which include the HACCP accreditation that your packhouse must have to be able to supply products to our local retailers. That, in a nutshell, is the licenses and permits that is needed to supply local business or retailers. Yeah.
Do local stores require producers to actually carry product liability insurance?
I've checked with my industry, the answer is actually no in terms of liability insurance. But remember, there are checks and balances that has been built in that mitigate that we don't need as local suppliers the liability insurance. And that has to do with the testing that they do on your product, terms residue levels, especially on fresh products, vegetables and fruit. And there is a testing process that your product must go through at an accredited laboratories in South Africa to determine that if you use pesticides and herbicides or whatever, that it is within the acceptable limits. So that is a sort of a insurance to the local stores that the product is safe for human consumption.
I know that producers specifically are price takers, but I am curious to know, how do local stores typically determine the price they pay producers?
I think there is a sensitivity with local stores that farmers and producers must make profit, although the supply and demand determines to a large extent the base price. And then there's normally negotiations between the farmer or the farmer group or the packhouse or the marketing company that you use, between them and the local stores, or the negotiated cost price where a farmer can't go lower. And it's especially applicable when there's a program that you supply over a long period, maybe for a whole season, to a local store. Then the price can be determined, which is a fair price to keep the producer in production. And it can also be linked to where in the season you are, where the prices are higher in times within the season when there's an oversupply and there's an adjustment. So at the end, we are not really at all levels price takers. Maybe there is also a cash component within the local market, some of the local stores, in programs like in the bigger supermarkets like Freshmark, Woolworths, Food Lovers. There you supply over a period of time within a certain program, within a certain week, where the prices can differ from week to week, but the average will normally be a profitable price for the farmer to continue farming business or the supplying edge.
And what are the payment terms for producers selling to local stores?
There is a cash component. Local stores that pay you cash, COD, cash on delivery. You deliver, you will check, you will pay on a price that you have agreed, whether it's by telephone or email or whatever. The average payment day for local suppliers at local stores is normally 21 working days. If you have a 30-day payment period, but there is a payment period that differs from that, which I call the designated producers, that is previously disadvantaged small-scale producers, of 14 days, which make it easier for the cash flow of the designated or smaller producers to honor their obligations for the service providers that they use to produce. So there's an easy tweak that I know that in some cases is strictly adhered to. Also in terms of what the government expected, that we, in terms for the cash flow of the smaller producers, that local suppliers or local stores, so local stores pay them within a 2-week cycle.
And do local stores offer any marketing or promotional support for local producers?
Yes, they do. Especially when it's high season and delicious fruit is available, they will run promotions within the seasons, like back to school promotions during our summer Christmas season. There are promotions that they run where they give discount if you buy more bulk, a group of products that they put together with a discount. There are very aggressive promotional support to the producers to get the flow of the product, especially if it's a perishable product.
But I love when you said it's very aggressive, a very aggressive approach. Mr. Abrams, I don't want to get into a practical component of our conversation. What are some of those tips that the key points to include in a sales presentation to your local retailer that you are interested to selling to as a producer?
We've got a national brand and a little sticker that you can get. It's the Proudly South African sticker, which is freely available if you want to put it on your product, that you can put on an apple and a pear and a peach, a tin of jam. We need to buy into that to make sure that we register with Proudly South African and get that stickers. The other brand is the Local is Lekker branding. That is also a good selling point that has a history in South Africa, and say to the consumer that this is a local product, it's a Lekker product, and that encourages them to buy because they can see it's local. And then you can do your own thing in store, within the local stores. You can do your own thing with their permission, maybe to highlight your product with a special branding within stores. If you negotiate with them, they normally allow that you do extra branding within their stores on your product.
We have delved into a little bit of legislation and some of the regulations, but are there any local regulations or restrictions on local retailers? What are those don'ts?
The Department of Agriculture lies down the minimum standards so that they make 100% sure that the product for Madam Customer is a product that she can rely on. The second thing that is very, very important is on the ethical side, where the restrictions are very, very strict. Let me give you two examples. If you make use of child labor, your product is not welcome in our stores. And the other thing is around pregnant women and their rights within the value chain, where they are protected and the working conditions adapted to such an extent that they can still work, if it's possible, with a medical approval till a month before she must go and deliver and 4 months after that. I just want to highlight those two because I think that is important. And that is a local restriction that they are very strict on child labor and the protection of women, especially pregnant women within the workplace.
What are some of the resources that are available to help producers learn about selling to local stores?
If I can go now to the Western Cape, we've got Westgrow that assists with product development and in marketing. This is now specifically for the Western Cape, but there are other agencies in other provinces and nationally that can help with product development and also help producers in their marketing strategy. That is a well-orchestrated program that Wesco runs specifically for producers in the Western Cape. The other one is the commodities. I belong to the deciduous fruit commodity or hot grow, and they have, for producers, especially smaller producers, workshops on the whole aspect of how do you market yourself, how do you market your product within a very competitive market. It's very much commodity bound, the workshops and the training that they give. But there are resources available for producers that they can utilize to market their products into the local stores.
Are there any specific crops, products in general that farmers should produce that would be more likely sourced locally? Maybe you just mentioned that you are part of the deciduous group. What are some of those commodities that would be easier to supply consistently?
Within all the commodities, there are a certain group of products that we call niche market products. They are normally products that is not so easy to produce, but then they fall within the niche market. Normally, your niche markets, the return on investment on your niche market is very, very high. Let me give you an example in the industry where I am. Have you ever heard of a donut peach and a donut nectarine? It's a flat nectarine. It looks different. It has nice eating qualities. That is an example of products. It's not so easy to put a flat dough peach or a flat nectarine, or maybe a black plum or a double color plum in the niche market category. So there are products that you can produce which falls within the niche markets, whether it's in the grain industry or in the deciduous fruit or the subtropical fruit industry. And even products that has been processed in a factory like Jacob's Jam, if they can come up with a niche product in that category, those are products that will sell, and those are products that will normally get a higher price within the local stores.
Thanks so much, Trevor Abrams, Mayor of Witzenberg Local Municipality and Deciduous Fruit Farmer. For more on the topic, visit www.foodfromzanzi.co.za. Embarking on a daring shift from steel manufacturing to agriculture, hashtag soul sister Zanele Lukele grew her humble animal feed shop into a thriving agro dealership, overcoming challenges and expanding to rural areas.
I left work in 2019 and I started in 2020, officially starting in the month of May 2020, but the planning started off from 2019. COVID hit at that time and then we had that break. After seeing that if I do not start now in the midst of this COVID-19, I will probably never start and I'll probably no longer even have the funds to start again. Yes. So I jumped and forced myself when we were on stage three. I started operating or officially operating and trading with buying and selling animal feeds, buying and selling animal medication, over-the-counter medication and supplements, poultry equipment, live chickens that I'm producing and then selling, broiler day-old chicks that I am also buying and selling.
Zanele is one of the phenomenal women selected to participate in the 2023 hashtag Soul Sister program. Catch a full interview on www.foodformzanzi.co.za and on Food from Zanzi's YouTube channel. But before I let you go, South Africa's brightest young agricultural minds will converge at the Mzanzi Young Farmers in Durban, seeking answers to pressing questions and forging connections to propel their ventures forward, and you are invited. Joining us in Pretoria North from Thursday 4th to Saturday 6th April for Africa's most prominent gathering of young farmers and agripreneurs. Tickets are currently on sale. To secure your seat by visiting www.farmingindaba.com through Quicket or purchase them at Pick n Pay, Pick n Pay Clothing or Pick n Pay Liquor nationwide. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. From me, Octavius Pandil, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of the hashtag team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food from Zanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.